May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Brian Bannigan, I'm going to send this up to you. Can I get an usher to take this all the way up to Brian Bannigan in the back? None of my ushers are listening. Jim, you know who Brian is? He's up there in the very, very back of the balcony. We run that up to him. Awesome. Brian, you can come down and grab it, but then go back up to the balcony because I'm going to have you read it. And then I need somebody else with a loud voice. Is there a female that would like to read something out loud, just a very short thing with a loud voice, a loud enough voice that they could just be, all right, Margaret or Mary, somebody. Okay, great. Okay, so I just saw you up there, and that's why I pulled you in. Okay, good morning, everyone. I actually have a sermon I'm going to do, I promise. Here's how it starts. I want to talk to you today about saints. So I want you to pull out your bulletin and go to page 2 of that 1 Corinthians reading. Acolytes, do you have bulletins up there? Do you guys have them? Okay, great. Sometimes they're not up there. And I want you to take that little golf pencil that's in the pew in front of you. Acolytes, you could just sort of like use some candles, ash or something. And okay, in the second paragraph, the reading for Corinthians starts, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, all of you with children or going to have children, consider Sosthenes. To the church of God that is in Corinth, and to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be, and then what is the word? Saints. All right, will you circle that word right there with that little golf pencil? Okay, this word, saints, is the Greek word hagioi. Let me hear you say hagioi. Okay, it means saints. It's also translated the Lord's people. It's also sometimes translated God's holy people. It is a designation for people that belong to the Jesus way, people that are doing the Jesus thing, to communities of faith. Paul is writing the letter of Corinthians to a church in Corinth, and he addresses them as saints, okay? Now, the thing about this hagioi word is it shows up in other places too, okay? And I want to show you a couple of those spots. So first, who has Acts 9? Matthew, read that out for us. Loud as you can.
As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda.
So as Peter traveled about the country, he visited the Lord's people in Lydda. So where are the Lord's people in this scripture? Lydda. Where were they in Corinthians? Corinth. We're doing great. Look at the see, you're passing the test. Okay. What about 2 Corinthians 13? Is that you, Brian? Brian's like, I'm circling the word.
All God's people here
send their greetings. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing from Jerusalem to Christians in Macedonia. So in this case, where are the saints? Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem. They're in Lydda. They're in Corinthians. Last one, I got Ephesians 1. Hit it, Mary. In Ephesus. You can stop there. To God's holy people in where? Ephesus. So where are the saints? Ephesus. Lydda. Jerusalem. Corinthians. So where are the hagioi? Everywhere. Everywhere Christians are, there are the hagioi. That's who they are. That is how they are identified, right? They are the hagioi. Now, here's what you start to find, though, is that as Paul develops this idea about what it means to be hagioi, it's not just sort of a banal religious distinction. Paul is describing people for whom something has happened. There is a sense of transformation that Paul believes is true about people that are hagioi. They are not just good, nice church folk. They are people that are in Christ. And they have like entered a new reality in the Christ. And things are happening to them. So if you start with our text, go back to this bulletin here, page 2. And that paragraph where you circled the word saints, look at what happens just before it. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are, what does it say? Sanctified. So the hagioi are folks who, one, have been sanctified. There's this sense of like power washed on the inside. Right? This way that there was a way that you were a way that might not have been so good for you, there could be some change. There's something new that's growing. There is a goodness and a cleansing, as it talks about, growing inside. You've been sanctified. Okay, other places. And later on in this letter, Paul talks about how the Hagioi have the mind of Christ. They get a new mind. They think about things differently. 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, anyone that's entered this new reality, a new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So there is this way that the Hagioi, the saints, are this kind of people that have had an experience with God, with the living God. They are open to trusting Jesus. And what's happening in them is stuff is changing. There is the way things used to be in their life, and it's becoming something new. It's different now. It used to be one way, and now it's another way. And this is happening in Christ to the Hagioi. Are you with me? Paul uses this word because he sees these people in a fundamentally different way than they used to be. Now, here's why this is important. Because how many good church-going folk have you met that talked about themselves first as sinners, right? And sometimes it comes with a sense of like kind of religious humility. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner like everybody else, right? That is not how Paul first describes this community of Christians. That is not how he talks about it. What Paul is saying is he recognizes, we sin. There's like any number of ways that we lose the plot, screw it up, go off the rails, totally blow it. But it is not, first and foremost, your primary identity. How do I know this? Because when Paul addresses letters to Christians, he doesn't say to the sinners, to the sinners, to the sinners, to the sinners. What does he say? To the saints, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints. Because you may sin, you may blow it, you may completely ruin it in every imaginable way, but that is not who you are in Christ. It is not your fundamental identity. Can I get an amen? I'm preaching about sin in church. Now, this is important, okay? It has endless implications that are really interesting. I want to talk about one of them in particular. Okay, and it goes like this. John Shields, can I give you my little notes here? Don't let me lose them, or else I can't do this at 11:15. I know. Listen, you're just lucky. I actually have this whole like skateboard analogy that I was going to do, and it was just too dangerous. I came in here and was like, nope, it's not going to work. Okay, so here's what the implications, one of the implications is. All of us, I would contend, have a playlist that runs in our head behind the scenes that tells us some pretty negative stuff about ourselves, right? And it's on shuffle sometimes. You're like, ooh, I haven't thought about that before, right? Like, you're bad, you can't get it right, you're doing it wrong, you're not smart enough, you're not thin enough, you're not quick enough on the draw, you had an opportunity, you blew it, and it's this playlist, and it runs over and over again. Do you know the playlist? Yes. You know, yeah. It's the worst playlist. It's the one you don't want to pick on iTunes, and yet it's there. And we don't pick it. Like, we wake up in the middle of the night, and it's there, and it's running over and over again, isn't it? The thing about the playlist is that the playlist comes from somewhere. The playlist has roots. It is not objective. It hasn't always been there. It started somewhere. And where the playlist starts is with the things sometimes that have happened to us. It's the wounds that we've sustained. The playlist comes from the people that we've trusted that have hurt us. They have come from our own mistakes, ways that we knowingly and unknowingly completely botched it, made bad choices on purpose or on accident or by accident, on purpose by accident. The playlist has roots, and all of us have them. All of us have got this voice, and it's in there, and it's telling you, you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to get it right. And so what starts to happen is when we encounter new things in our lives, right, when we come across a new endeavor, that playlist is there, and it starts to fire up. you know what, I'm thinking about taking a painting class. Why would you do that? You'll never be good enough at painting. You'll never be a master painter. Why even try? You're not creative, right? People are going to laugh at you. They're going to think it's dumb. Do you know this voice? Okay? Or sometimes the voice goes like this. I want to get in a relationship with somebody, but I keep screwing up all of the romantic relationships that I have. And so I'd like to be with this person, but I'm just going to screw this one up too. Or the last person betrayed me, and this person might as well. And what if they lie to me the way the other person did? And so we become protected and we close off. Do you know this voice? Okay, so here's the thing. When that's happening, something particular is going on with the playlist. What the playlist is doing is it's letting your past push you around. It's letting your past push you into the new things in your life. I would love to get involved in this new business venture, but like, we'll never be able to raise the money, and I'll probably mess it up, and it's probably not going to happen, and who am I to even think that I should try this? And the past pushes us toward the future, right? And when that happens, we live into the story we're telling ourselves about who we are, aren't we? Well, if I'm going to fail, then guess what? You will. If I'm going to screw it up, then you will. I'll always be alone, then guess what? You absolutely will. This thing is going to go off the rails just like the last one. Yep, probably. Because your past is pushing you, and that playlist is running, and it's telling you something. This is what is so profound about our text, because the gospel says Jesus wants to change the playlist. Jesus will change the tape. Jesus will hit next on the track and will speak a fresh word to you about your life, your circumstance, and what's possible. Whereas the old tapes push you around. They get all up in your business and they're like, you are going to screw this up. You're always going to be unhealthy. It's New Year's, maybe you've committed, like, I'm going to take care of the one body that God has given me. And so I'm going to exercise and eat right. And there's this voice that's like, you really going to keep that up? Like, you're really going to drink 8 glasses of water a day? You're really going to exercise every day? Like, you're really going to be able to abstain from alcohol? You're really going to be able to leave sugar behind, right? What the gospel says to the Hagioi is, that's not your identity. There's a Jesus that's on this side that's like, nothing gets to push you around. I want to pull you into a new future. I want to grab you by the hand, by the rope, and say, oh, you can do it. You can absolutely make that choice. You can get into that relationship. You can be healed. A new word can be spoken about that marriage. It doesn't have to be over. This relationship doesn't have to end. You can take a painting class because you are not who you were. You have a new identity. You are fundamentally not defined by your failures. You are defined by Jesus, who calls you saints and wants to pull you into a new future. Is there anybody here that needs a new word spoken about something in their life? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is there anybody else that has that playlist in your head that goes and you're like, oh my gosh, can I get rid of that? The gospel is that that playlist is not true and it does not have to run. There can be a fresh word spoken about you. Can you see why the first people that heard this thought that this was pretty good news? Amen, right? Now, let me give you a practical thing to do with this. If this sounds good to you, Warren Allen, of course, doesn't have this problem. So if you're virtuous like Warren, you don't have to mess with it. But if you're just a sinner saved by grace like me, well, here's what you do. I actually, when I was researching things, I came up with like 5 or 6 of these, so they're going to show up in other sermons. I will reference this sermon in the future. Here's the first one, and it goes with our gospel. The gospel today, Jesus is calling disciples. He's basically looking for people that want to learn from him how to master the art of living. That's what it means to be his disciple. When they come to him and they're like, we want to follow you. Show us how to be humans in this world. Show us what it looks like to live in God's world, God's way. Okay? Disciples are what? They're students, right? Do students have all the answers? No. Do students have an instant grasp of everything and are experts the first time they try something? No. What happens with students? They have to try and try again. They have to practice. sometimes they fail, and sometimes they don't, but they have to keep working at it over and over again, okay? So here's what I want to invite you to do. If you want the playlist to change, one thing you can do is take a little card or a sticky note and write the word student on it and put it somewhere that you see it every day. Stick it on your bathroom mirror, stick it on your alarm clock, take a picture of it and make it the screensaver on your phone. And when you see it, let it be a reminder to you, you are a student. You are a student of this life. No one has ever been who you are in your circumstance before. No one's ever gone to Reynolds High School as you before, right? Never, never happened before. No one's ever been a mom to your kids before. And because the second kid is so different from the first kid, you're not a failure. You're a student at raising and figuring out that second kid, right? You have never, if you've never been a boss before, and you're not getting it right and it's not working, it's okay, you're being a student. No one's ever done that job in the way that you've done it before. They've never had to manage the HR issues you've had to manage. They've never had to deal with payroll. They've never had to deal with conflict. You are a student. You are learning what it means to be a master of the art of living in the Jesus way. And what's beautiful about that is that when the voice comes up in the back of your head that says, you're probably going to screw this one up too, you shouldn't try because you might fail, you'll never get it right, the student says, of course. Why would I ever think that I could? Right? Why would I ever believe that I would get it right the first time? That's not learning. That's not intelligence. The smartest people aren't the people that get it right the first time. Who are the smartest people? The people that keep trying. The people that figure out how to do what they're not already good at. Ladies and gentlemen, that is you. That is the invitation of the gospel. Jesus wants to change the playlist. Do you want that? Then you are invited to be open to living in, being pulled into your true reality as a saint and living toward God's good future for who you already and are supposed to be and actually already are. Amen.